streaming.
Double mic here. Actually, that would be a triple mic. Right? This is Mike. We're all our happy mics today. So, how's your back doing this week?
Better here, probably.
Yeah, no doubt. Deuteronomy 4. I am what they call flying by the seat of my pants. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I got something that stirred me up today. Naturally, we're trying to do our best to get online. Melissa, why don't you check who has the sermon audio app? Okay, check it and see if we're there.
Okay.
Put my mind at ease. Deuteronomy chapter 4, you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Got something that kind of set me off this morning when I came in. And, microphone, they're bugging me. Slide that down a little bit. There. And I'm going to show you something from the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, there's an event that took place yesterday. And I'm going to build up to it here in just a minute. But I know I'm running out of time. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. God said, "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." When he says statutes and judgments, he means Bible.
Amen.
Take heed, hearken, listen to your Bible. Listen to what God is telling you in the Word. Listening to it, hearkening to it. The word hearken has the word hear in it, but it's more than just hearing it, it's believing it. Your Bible does you no good if you don't believe it. Amen? And he said that you may live. Now verse 2. Ye shall not add, you can underline this in your Bible. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Rule number 1. And this is restated in Revelation 22. Rule number 1. Do not add anything to your Bible. Do not put words in that are not there. I don't care how well-meaning you are. Do not add words to your Bible. Don't add your own private interpretations. Don't give it, I'm trying to help the meaning out of it. Don't do it. Okay? Rule number 2. Don't take anything out of it. Don't take the letter S. Let me give you an example. Jesus, the guys were fishing, right? And they were not having any success fishing. And so Jesus said, "Cast your nets on the right side." So they took a net, cast it over the right side. When they went to bring it in, what happened? Almost broke the net. It was so full of fish. What was their problem? The letter S. Jesus said, "Cast your nets."
Yeah.
Plural. To the other, to the right side. They took one net and almost lost it. Okay? So don't take anything away from what God said. Amen? And if it's in Genesis, it's for Nancy. Right? And if it's in Obadiah, it's for Nancy. Right? I'm not just picking on Nancy. Okay? If it's in your Bible, it's got your name on it. It's for you. Belongs to you. Amen? So watch this. Let's see here. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. God was serious when he said, "I'm a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. Do not go after other gods." God don't like it. But he said, verse 4, "But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God and are alive, every one of you, this day." Two things I'm going to run by you very, very quickly. Number one, when God brought Eve to Adam, the Bible said, Adam said, leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Okay? God intends, this is God talking, in case any liberals, in case Hillary Clinton is listening to me preach this message. Hillary, God appointed a man and a woman together to cleave to one another. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
I wasn't just talking to Hillary, by the way. Okay? That is a picture, Paul said in Ephesians, it's a picture of Christ and his church. We are the bride, he's the bridegroom. When we meet Christ in the air, we will be with the Lord forever, for all of eternity. Amen. Jesus is not going to leave us or forsake us or run out on us or divorce us.
Amen.
Amen. He won't do it. So, he said that if you cleave unto the Lord your God, he's going to let you live. Here's what's interesting. There's two types of marriages in the Bible. There's always opposites and contrasts in the Bible. One marriage is between Christ and his church. They will cleave to one another and not be able to be separated. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. There is another marriage in the Bible. It is the joining together that we see in Daniel chapter 2 relating to the fourth kingdom. The kingdom of the toes of part iron and part clay in the book of Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel, when he's given the interpretation of the dream and he's making sense, Sterling, you're a welder, and have you ever been able to successfully weld mud to iron? Huh?
Yeah.
Not yet.
He keeps trying.
He keeps trying. It don't work. In fact, I've watched you weld a little bit. You let me do it one time. I don't know why you never let me do it again. But I noticed that as you were welding something and you got done, you took a hammer and you were beating it. Then you take like a scrub brush and scrub it. What are you doing? Knocking the slag, impurities, because it won't stick. And the interesting thing about weld, from what I learned, is weld is actually stronger. If it's done right, it's actually stronger than the two pieces you're joining together. Yeah, it'll break the side of the weld, won't break the weld if it's done right. But if that slag is left on there, if those impurities are left on there, they will not cleave one to another. This Bible's right.
Amen.
Amen? Bible's right. So in the last days, the devil's going to try to set up his version of his kingdom, joining himself with mankind. But they will not cleave together as iron does not cleave to miry clay. It won't work. That's how you know that the devil's kingdom will not stand. What did Jesus say? Because they accused Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub, right? He said, well, you're the prince of devils. That's why you're casting them out. And Jesus said, if I buy Satan, Lucifer, the devil, if I buy the devil and casting out devils, then my kingdom is divided against itself and it will not stand. If you stop to think about that, the toes of the image in that fourth kingdom is what was making that whole image stand. But because the iron was mixed with miry clay, it was not, it's divided from each other. They don't work. And that image is going to fall one of these days. Now, watch. Hang on, I'm not done here. I got to get to the good part yet. Verse 5. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land when ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. We are to hear the word and heed the word. Do what God said. Amen? Believe it. Do it. I'll give you an example of here in just a minute. I'll give you an example of what James was talking about when he talked about faith and works. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Okay? I'm going to give you an example of that. Because he said, keep therefore and do them. And let me just ask you this. Are there people who are in churches that do not really believe what God said, even though they call themselves Christians and or call themselves believers? Okay? They are. What's the difference? What is the difference between them? How can we understand, even for ourselves, whether or not we really are who we say we are? And it has everything to do with what James said concerning faith and works. He said, faith without works is dead, being alone. And I'm going to show you that here in a little bit. So he says, verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And I can tell you that there was a time in this country when America was respected, feared, favored. People wanted to come to this nation, not so that they could bring their misery and their way over here. They came over here for a new way.
Yeah.
A new life. A new start. Now we have people coming to this nation who don't want our way. They want to subjugate us to their way. And I'm not doing it. Okay. I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Is it still righteous to not steal from somebody? Is it still the right thing to do? Don't take something that don't belong to you. Don't take it. If it doesn't belong to you, don't take it.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not steal. When we had school here, every now and then you'd find things in kids' stuff that didn't belong to them. And I'd ask them about it. You know, where'd you get that? Well, I found it. You found it where? I found it here. Let me ask you a question. Did you come to school with that? No. Did your mama bring you that? No. Then what makes you think that that belongs to you now that you found it? If you didn't bring it, it's not yours. Amen? If somebody else, that's stealing. That's still, God said, don't do that. That's still righteous. Is it righteous to not commit adultery? It's still right to do. All these laws that God gave us, there was a time when most people favored those laws. We didn't have a problem with those laws. Those laws were right. Those laws protected us and they blessed us. Righteousness, the Bible says, exalteth the nation. And I know maybe that some news sounds good about kind of how our nation's turning a little bit, but I'm telling you, if we remain, if God gives us this great opportunity that we have right now to turn this country around and we remain in our sin, I'm afraid. Now, verse 9 is where I wanted to get to. Look up on the screen. Brian, go over there and get a camera angle of that just for a minute. I come in this morning and I pulled up the news and it made me mad. Angry. Clemson University. How many of you ever heard of that? Clemson University. I'm going to explain what that is. The article, this happened yesterday. Student Satanist announced a lamb sacrifice and a Bible burning at Clemson University. Student body organization at Clemson University of about Satanists. And let me just give you my idea of who a Satanist is. A Satanist is anybody who is not born again Christian.
Amen.
Okay? That's who they are. So their plan was, see, right now Clemson is building a $6 million chapel building on its campus. It's going to be, you know how things are, it's going to be one of these, I'm not done. It's going to be one of these universal type chapels where all faiths, and even if you don't believe in anything. Well, the Satanists got together and they said, well, we're going to promote this thing, we're going to do it right. So they planned on sacrificing the lamb, bloodletting, which means they're going to do what the prophets of Baal did on the day that Elijah and those prophets had their little showdown. Remember, when the prophets of Baal could not get Baal to send fire down from heaven, they began to cut themselves, bloodletting. They began to carve into their skin to show their devotion to Baal, and it didn't work. And Elijah was having fun with it. He was mocking him. He's good. What? Is your God asleep? Okay? Is he out pursuing? Does he need somebody to wake him up? Believe it or not, in witchcraft, the four elements of witchcraft, the power of witchcraft, each element is guarded over by what's called a watchtower. And each watchtower has a dragon that is a sort of like a spirit god over each of these four elements. And in Wicca, they tell you, if you're going to call forth these elements and these dragons, these spiritual watchtowers over these four elements, if you're going to call them forth, you have to be very careful, because more than likely these dragons are going to be asleep. And they don't like to be awakened. And if you do it the wrong way, those dragons will wake up angry and they'll consume you. What a religion. Number one, I'm never worried about how I wake my God up, because he never went to sleep.
Amen.
Even Jared liked that. Jared got happy on that. Let me get to this. Live bloodletting, lamb sacrifice, and there was a reward given. That's interesting. There was a reward given for whoever brought the most Bibles. They'd get $25 cash for bringing the most Bibles, because they were going to burn them. Burn the Word of God. Okay? Now, historically, I can tell you that that has no effect on the power of God's Word.
Amen.
You cannot burn God's Word away into oblivion. It's been tried. Amen?
Amen.
They're also on the screen. That was part of the poster that was posted for this. Now, this God that's on here is named Baphomet. And what they were going to do was, they were going to have a Bible torching ceremony. They were going to sacrifice a live lamb. And the point was to help summon Baphomet. This is their statement. To help summon Baphomet to celebrate the new chapel that was being built. Let me show you who Baphomet is. Take a look at that image up on the screen. Okay? Now, part of this image I have blotted out with a Hillary for President patch. Okay? Because part of this image is nude. And I figured Baphomet would vote for Hillary, because they like killing babies. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15. I'm going to show you that. This image was designed in the late 1800s by an occultist by the name of Eliphas Levi. And one of our followers showed me this. And he saw some things in this image that just kind of, he was reading the Bible and he went, wait a minute. That's Baphomet. Now I'm going to show you from this image very quickly the spirits that we are at war with right here. And this whole chapter, Deuteronomy 4, has everything to do with, number one, has to do with God's Word. God said, do not add to it, do not take away from it. This Word will give you life. Satan hates God's Word. And his replacement is a false religion based upon idol worship. Now let me show you this. Deuteronomy 4, verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. And what he's saying here is, when you were at Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, you heard the voice, you heard the trumpets, you saw the lightning and the clouds and the fire and the smoke. You did not see an image of God anywhere. You did not see God. You heard his voice. You did not see his similitude. You did not see his form. So you do not know what God looks like. Don't carve an image and say, this is Jehovah God. Amen? Because the image that you're going to carve did not come from what you saw. It's going to come out of your wicked imagination. And he said, verse 16, lest you corrupt yourselves and make your graven image the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. This image of Baphomet is both male and female. Part of which I covered up. This is the house of the Lord. Okay? I covered it up. But this image is... So, understand me. The transgender homosexual movement in this nation is being run by a spirit.
Amen.
We're at war with that spirit or those spirits. We're at war with them. Okay? And any church that calls itself a church who would favor, show favoritism. Now, don't get me wrong. I would like for someone who is struggling with homosexuality to come to Bethel Church, or at least hear us online, and say, I want out.
Amen.
I don't want to come out. I want out. Amen. I want salvation. Okay? My hatred is not for what sin does to somebody. My hatred... I said that wrong. My hatred is not for the person that has been ravaged by sin. My hatred is for the sin. And the spirits that are behind it. That's who we're at war against. The likeness of any male or female. So this occultist drew this image, late 1800s, by inspiration of a spirit. And it's word for word out of the Bible. Number 2, verse 17. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth. That's what this image is. He's a goat. By the way, Jesus separated sheep from...
Amen.
Think about it. Okay? So he said, the similitude of any, likeness of any beast that is on the earth, likeness of any winged fowl. Look on the back of this thing. It's got a winged fowl. The likeness of anything, verse 18, that creepeth on the ground. There's two snakes coming up out of his lap area. Okay? That's represented his male part. Likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground. The likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Behind, you can't see it very clear, but behind the area where the two serpents are is an area of fish scales included in this. Then he said, verse 19, unless thou lift up thine eyes into heaven when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, and that's what you see up there, on the upper, on your upper left-hand corner is an image of a partially blocked sun, and down below is an image of a partially blocked crescent moon. They represent opposites, night and darkness, but then on his forehead, he's got a mark on his forehead. What does that tell you? Okay? And it's the image of a star. In other words, everything that God said, don't worship and don't make an image of this, this is what the Satanists at Clemson University worship. They worship the exact opposite of everything that God told us not to worship. And for our tax money to go to help fund an organization like this is an abomination. They ought to cut off the money line right there. They ought to just cut it off, but they won't. And so our tax money is going to go to further this nonsense. Okay? Has to do with what I'm going to preach on this morning. There are some things that I've just decided in life are worth standing up for.
Amen.
Amen.
No matter what it costs. Amen. Some things worth standing up for. Stuff like this, it's worth standing against.
Amen.
Amen. Even if we do nothing but stand. In standing, we have accomplished what God put us here on this earth for. You say, well, we want to win the war. We will.
Amen.
We will. When Christ returns,
Amen.
We'll win. We'll get it all. Okay? But you know what's got to happen first? God's going to let the world destroy the world. Okay? You watch it happen. So anyway, this is what we're up against. This is what's going on in our country. This is what's going on around the world. The spirits are gaining power every day. God calls us to stand against them. Let me hear God's people say amen.